You're listening to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast,
featuring the leadership of Ron Kitchens.
The topics discussed today are designed
to keep you moving always forward.
Welcome to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Ron Kitchens with my partner and sidekick here. We're in the right seat.
I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. How was that? Is that? So I think we just had.
You're the Luther to my Vandross.
Exactly. We just had 50% of the listenership fall off quickly.
Just gone. Yeah. They're deleting us from.
Here's
there.
The thing, though, Ron. With singing, 90% of it is just get out there, just own it and go with it. Even if you can't hold a note to save your life, that's a leadership lesson.
Wow, that's tweetable.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's tweetable.
Yeah. Now I don't want to listen to people that are awful singers, but I know this. Most of the things in life, you just get out there and act like you own it, and it ends up being something you end up owning.
So I was on stage and sang with Sam Moore of Sam and Dave. You know, Give Me Some Lovin'.
Okay, this is a Ron segment of what has Ron done that we don't know about.
Yeah, so I sang on stage with Sam Moore. We sang Mustang Sally together, but I can't sing. But what I've discovered, if the band is hot and you got a horn section,
yeah,
absolutely nobody notices that you can't sing.
Yeah. Now, what was the context for you singing?
So he was actually at a wealthy friend's wife's birthday party. His band was hired to be the entertainment.
Okay.
And so I was there in advance and told him how much that I'd liked him and how I was that weird kid in high school listening to Otis Redding and, you know, these old blues guys, and how much I enjoyed his music and who was it that inspired him. And we were talking about these kind of great musicians that he loved that I knew. And so all of a sudden he said, hey, and I want my great friend Ron to come up and sing with me on this. I know you know this song. So I sang Mustang Sally with Sam Moore.
Again, you just got to jump in.
Yeah, and it was simply by building that relationship. You know, I think one of the great things about relationships is by being a fan of other people, whatever they're doing,
yeah,
to show the interest, to ask the questions, and simply be willing to learn and listen and appreciate while you're doing it. And you're so great at that, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir here.
I appreciate that. I think for me, you know, even on this issue of how do you build relationships? How do you create authenticity? How do you build partnerships? What does it look like to create something that is a win-win? You always have to walk into that friendship or that relationship with their interests in mind. And the same is true with meeting new people. Your first step, many times we think our first step is to sort of toot our own horn or build our own case or create our platform, build our bridge. And the best way I think to build the bridge to move the needle towards a friendship or partnership or some kind of relationship is actually to invite them into the conversation. And when you invite somebody in, you're honoring them. And what you said, Ron, like you're asking them good questions, you're interested in what they do, you're willing to sort of put your own desires or your own needs on the side for a while and really dig into where they are. And that's easy when we need something, because all of a sudden it's a transaction that we know at some point we're going to get our win and then we'll move into normal. And, you know, I think great partnerships or great friendships, that's always the case. Like you're always putting their needs ahead of your own. You're always interested still in who they are. You're always asking the questions of what are you working on recently? Not that you're taking a second chair mentality, but you are sort of saying, in this situation, in this relationship, I want to serve you and I want to put you in the chair of honor.
So that's the Vito Corleone school of friendship.
You know, there you
the
go.
Scene in The Godfather where the guy goes to him and asks for a favor and he says, you know, I'll do this for you, but someday, and that day may never come, I will come to you with a request for a favor and you'll do that for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not sure, you know, we quote, you know, mobster movies.
Hey, come on.
Relationships, but it's a great analogy of what those things look like. But I think the key is to be interested
yeah.
in other people's success and outcome and to celebrate that. And that's sometimes a little hard. I think it was, maybe it's Maxwell, John Maxwell, but I don't remember exactly who, you know, has this line that says, you know, when you meet somebody new and you've had this great conversation, you know, the last question is, who do you know that I should know and would you introduce them to me? And I think maybe that's actually backwards on building partnerships. It's finishing that was, who do I know that you'd like to meet? And can I introduce you to them?
Yes.
And you're so good at that. I mean, there's rarely an occasion that you and I talk that you don't go, oh, I know somebody that can help you with that. I know somebody you should meet. You know, I know we've been talking in the past about, you know, now our mutual friend, Inky Johnson. And, you know, your first thing when you found out that Inky was Atlanta, it's, oh, I want to introduce you to my friends. I got people that I know you should know that could help lift you up and help you build your message and expand that.
Yeah.
Has that always been you? Or is it something you've had to develop?
It's a DNA deep within me. I mean, you know, my strength finder, one of the top ones is Woo. That's part of the story. I think the other part is I like feeling the sense that I'm building this asset of friendships that then I can trade. And the only way I trade those well is when I help them win. So I'm not trading them to either decrease their value. I'm trading them actually to increase their value. And when I create a win-win, what happens is when I introduce two people, the thing that most of us struggle with when it comes to being really true, authentic connectors is I typically get out of the equation then. But we have a hard time with that because we still want to be in the mix. But when I introduce two people who end up like working together or they actually end up liking each other more than they like me, I have to be okay with that, right? I mean, I have to be willing to say, step on me, literally or figuratively, but just use me as the platform that you're going to actually advance what you're doing. And that's something I've learned, but you know what? It actually makes really good business sense. And it's a servant mentality. It's hey, you guys take this and run with it. You don't need me in the process anymore. And one thing too is all of us who are connectors will amen and high five on this point. I want to be a connector, not a networker. Networkers are the people that walk in the room and nobody wants to talk to, but they want to talk to everybody, right? Networkers are the ones who, you know, there's going to be something that they're going to ask for. Connectors.
Before they ever have a relationship.
Before they ever have a relationship. Connectors, you know, they're always going to have your best interest in mind. You know, connectors, it's all about you, and meaning it's all about the other person.
Yep.
Networkers, it's all about them. It's all about what can I get at the end of the day out of this relationship. And so I want to be a connector. I want to be this conduit for good, not necessarily the networker who ends up having to, in every situation, I've got to have a transaction occur. Otherwise, it's not worth my time.
I failed. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're a networker and you see that in yourself, then switch your mentality towards, at the end of the day, I'm going to be so interested in helping others that I may actually get pushed out of the equation. And that's okay. And salespeople are the worst at this because they feel like they have to get the sale. And they do. But many times you may miss out on the sale today, but you'll get 10x a week from now because you made that connection for somebody.
Absolutely. I have a car guy. Now, I'm not somebody who buys lots of cars, but I have a guy who helps me with my cars. You know, I have three cars, my wife, my daughter, and mine. But he's so good at connecting and being mindful of my needs and, hey, think about this and you don't really need that. And there's going to be special financing next month. Let's wait a little bit. That now I bet our team, you know, that I work with, I'll bet we've probably bought 15 cars from him in the last 2 years. And Jason has a bona fide relationship with every person there that doesn't go through me at all. I'm shocked that I'll see him walk into the office delivering somebody's car, bringing it in to get something serviced that wasn't quite right. And he's in the office and I didn't even realize they knew each other. So it's gone beyond my passing him on to now he has an entire team who's building relationship with him and they have their family and friends buying cars for him. He will never have to work a day in his life because he now does business with exclusively friends who are referrals in this relationship. And it's amazing what he's been able to do in just a couple of years.
What about partnerships, Ron? Like, you know, Southwest Michigan First, you all bleed partnership. I mean, this is what you do. You're actually in partnership with hundreds and hundreds of organizations, businesses. But when you think about the word partnership and how to do it well, how's that played out?
I think for us, it's think partnership first. So we are a group that's looking for constant growth. We really need to grow at about 20% annually to serve the needs of our team. So when we look at the growth of new opportunities, advancement of the team being able to expand their own horizons, it takes about 25% growth of our capacity. So we're looking for partners first because, one, it helps us grow at an exponential pace. We don't have to learn everything from new, but it's just more fun because you end up finding out things that they can do that you never knew you needed to do or you wanted to do, that you have these epiphanies. And it's everything from, you know, we don't have in-house graphic design anymore on our team because we have these amazing partners who just embed in our office. And any time there's probably four or five people in our offices embedded, you wouldn't be able to tell, that don't work for our organization. They work for somebody else, but we've formed partnerships with them. And we do a lot of joint ventures and partnerships on new business units that we're going into or on service. Who's got the same need to serve, to love, to change the current conditions that we have, and how do we partner with them to do that, whether it's a charitable endeavor that we're wanting to focus on or it's something that's purely capitalistic. We want to partner first, and if we have to do it by ourselves, we will, but we know it's not going to be as much fun and we can't go as fast as we want to go.
And the challenge of that is that partnerships at their core, would you say that partnerships are more work? Are they more emotional energy exerted? It's
because they're relationships, because it's people.
Right.
So you have to go in and you have to be, they're not transactions.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. A transaction is easy because you can say, you either do this and you do it on time, or I'm not going to pay you, you know, the amount we agreed upon. That's a transaction. Mm-hmm. If it's a partnership, you say, I'm going to bring my capacity, you're going to bring your capacity. One and one is going to equal three, or hopefully five, but the sum of the parts will be greater. But to make that work, it means that we've got to collaborate as if we're truly dependent on each other.
Right.
And that you've got to be committed to that, or it just won't work. It's transactional. It's not partnership.
And how do you develop the fences appropriately in those kind of relationships? Is there a fence? I mean, because a lot of people would say, well, does that mean we don't have an agreement and we're just for each other? Like, what does that look like tangibly?
No, for us, it's outcomes. So it's begin with the end in mind. It's, you know, Covey's 7 habits. We begin with the end in mind. What are we going to get done? What are we each committing to bring to that? Because not every partnership's 50-50. Sometimes somebody's just bringing the last 10% to you. And then what's the financial relationship look like? Because you got to be clear up front what that looks like. And so from all of that, you can build expectations and timelines of partnerships. And then you have to check in regularly. Say, how are you feeling? How are we doing? Are we meeting things? Are we mutually accountable to each other and delivering on that? Because if you're not, then what you end up with is one person feeling like they're stuck in a relationship. And anybody who's ever been stuck in a relationship knows the one constant is you're going to get bitter.
Yeah.
And bitter never gets better.
So communication's key.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In a mutual sense of what success looks like.
And one thing I found too is, you know, when you're the big fish, potentially in a small pond, or you're the big fish in a big pond, part of the role of organizations that have been around longer, they have more influence, they're the leader in their industry. Your job on this issue of partnership and relationship is to reach down and pull others up. And many times we think, because I'm small or I'm unknown, I have to do partnerships because otherwise I can't get anything done. Once you get big, you start to think, or once you get known or influential, you start to think, oh, we don't have to partner as much anymore because we can do this all on our own. And I would just encourage to think just the opposite, which is it's my responsibility when I'm the influential organization in town that has all the influence to seek out partnerships and be the person or be the organization or the leader who's helping pull up. And again, that may cause you to potentially lose your place because that organization gets more popular.
Could surpass you.
Right. But that's part of good partnership.
You know, I think a great lesson I learned on that. So I have a wonderful friend, Reed Ryan. Reed's the president of the Houston Astros baseball club. So, but when Reed and I first became friends, he ran the Round Rock Express. He was the founder of the Round Rock Express, which today is the AAA affiliate of the Texas Rangers. Then it was with the Houston Astros. And then Reed has done several other minor league teams. He's one of the finest baseball operators in the country, including Corpus Christi Hooks. So, but I was with Reed. We'd gone to look at a competitor in the Texas League, and Reed was there to help them get better. And so I'd gone with them because I was interested. We were looking at stadium designs on a project we were working on. And so he was going with them through their books and talking about their margins on concessions, talking about strategies on hiring people, talking about facilities and expectations for the players. And we got in the car and I said, well, share with me why you were helping them. Why were you lifting them up like that? And he said, oh, it's easy. In the Texas League, we're only as good as the worst operating team. And if that team were to fold, it would completely destroy all of our schedules. And if their facilities aren't up to high qualities, then my players, when they come in there, aren't getting the facilities they need to elevate them to the major leagues. And so it's in my enlightened self-interest for them to be an incredible operation. And I'm going to do everything I can, including sending my employees over if they need to help them be great, because it makes all of us great. It elevates the value of their club, which elevates the value of my club as a league member. And I never forgot that lesson, that some days, even if you're excellent, the best thing you can do to raise the value of our own organization is lift up the organization of others.
That's good. That's good. Good word and so true.
You know, it's great to be here with you every week, and it's great to share, you know, kind of leadership. We'd love to hear from listeners on what they're dealing with. What are those issues you'd like for us to go deep on? And you can always reach out at ronkitchens.com or bradlominick.com and hit us up about what's important to you and what we can bring back to you, either from our own experiences or for the experiences of our friends who we can bring on. So thank you for being here this week, Brad.
Absolutely.
And thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at ronkitchens.